from the matinee.
Well, now that we've cleaned up the studio.
I think we should have some real good music, and we've got some there. Should we start with music, or shall we talk?
Let's talk for a few minutes and talk about Christmas shopping, friends. We have in the studio the WHDH famous shopper, the charming...
Thanks very much, Ray.
What is your name, sir?
Harvey Crumlift.
Harvey, I know that you've been making the rounds of all the department stores.
Yes, I've been making the rounds of all the department stores.
Novelty stores.
And whatnot.
WHAT-NOT.
And I found that for the man who has nothing, I'd suggest get him everything.
Get him everything, eh? And what would you start with?
Well, I think a good pair of bedroom slippers is about as nice a Christmas present as any man could want to receive.
I think so.
I personally wouldn't.
What would you want if you were a man?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe I'd like, say, a garden set or a set of tools or something. Something I can work around the house
something
with.
Something you can put your teeth into.
Sure. That's the way we talk about it down at the agency.
I see. Well, of course, I suppose Christmas shopping is going along.
Christmas shopping is going along.
At fever pitch.
Fever pitch. And we're able to see that this year, more than ever before,
people are
buying Christmas presents.
Well, that's awfully...
Especially at this time of the year, probably because it comes so close to Christmas.
I think that's the biggest reason for the increase in sales in stores at this. Always in late December, you'll notice this happen. And I think
that's right after Thanksgiving, I've noticed.
Well, it's because
that period there between Thanksgiving and Christmas is a big buying time.
It's almost a pretty much a
and everybody is buying Christmas presents.
I see.
And not buying many birthday presents unless there happens to be a birthday in that time.
Wait a minute. I went over at the Christmas card counter, and I saw a couple of fellas buy some birthday cards. A lot of people have birthdays.
Well, you might find somebody down there.
Yes, and I myself bought a birthday gift.
Somebody.
Well, you're
the
other
day.
You're the exception to the rule.
That's what the teacher used to tell me.
Yes, well, that's the way it works out.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I think that's a very interesting discussion on Christmas, but that's about as far as we can go.
Any music here?
Yeah, we've got some music.
Good boy.
Our favorite piano player and our favorite singer.
The knicker in the Nickelodeon. All I want is having you and music, music, music. I do anything for you, anything you want me to. All I want is kissing you and music, music, music. Closer, my dear, come closer. The nicest part of any melody is when you're dancing close to me. So put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music, music, music.
With my French accent.
I like that song, Peter, very much.
Thank you very much,
Mary. I meant to ask you about that.
I feel so happy today.
I know you do. You look awfully happy. That pale purple color has changed into a beautiful green.
I feel much better. I like this shade of green I'm wearing here.
Yes.
Where is green, by the way? What happened to him, Peter, shouldn't happen to him.
Excuse me, you interesting people, but I'd like to take time out to introduce a beautiful guest star of ours, the ever-lovable...
Oh, I love her. She's wonderful.
It is. She's a very talented young lady.
No, that's the Persians on you, Mary, of course.
No, well, I understand that. I'm fully aware that there are other people in this world who have as much talent as me.
Or maybe a little modicum more.
What?
Maybe a modicum more.
What is a modicum more?
Well, just a little bit more, I guess.
Well, granted, certainly. I know that I've never made a movie, for instance. Nobody's asked me to go to the opera and sing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've never accomplished too much in this life.
Well, you've done well, though. You've made a lot of friends, and I'm sure you've endeared yourself to the hearts of millions.
Bob, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Oh, well, let's stop this crying now. Here is Miss Jeanette Davis.
Chesterfield flattened by women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield ABC.
You like that, friends?
Boy, I did.
I think Jeanette Davis is wonderful, but that's all beside the point. We only wish that we could have her on this program. Now, Iron Tablets presents Dr. OK or... Mr. Anthony, which...
Mr. Agony.
All right. Mr. Agony, the sentimental...
Yes, he's here.
Oh, is he? The sentimental heartbeat. And here he is, Mr. Agony.
All right, Mr. Sterling, our first problem, please.
The case of Mr. M.M.
All right, so your problem, please.
Thank you very much.
Don't get too close to the microphone there.
My... What?
Don't get too close to the microphone.
My problem is simply this. I am coming into the Christmas season now in high gear.
Let me see if I have your story right to this point. You say you are coming into the Christmas season in high gear?
Yes.
All right, so go ahead with your problem, please.
And my wife said that I should leave her. And I said, why? And she said, well, first she pushed me.
I see your wife pushed you, did she?
Down the cellar stairs. Landed akimbo... By the oil burning?
Don't mention any proper places, please.
It was an akimbo oil burner.
Go on with your story, please.
I landed there.
Let me ask you a question. Is this lady in the audience, she the lady who came in with you, is that your wife?
Yes.
Would you bring her up to the microphone, please?
Not in your life. I wouldn't let her get talking.
All right, I'll talk to her later. You tell me your problem.
Yes, and she pushed me down the cellar stairs, and I came back up and said, what's the matter? Don't you love me?
In other words, you thought after she pushed you down the cellar stairs...
I thought it was an accident.
You thought
I thought she was reaching for the salt.
Maybe she was playing a little joke on you.
I thought it was fun.
I see. And so you climbed up the cellar stairs. Did you have any broken bones?
No, fortunately, but I did spoil my brand new suit.
I see. Did your wife offer to make restitution for this suit?
No, she tore my sleeve when I mentioned how dirty it was after the fall.
In other words...
Then she poked her fingers in my eye.
Oh, in other words, she was pretty serious about this whole thing.
Yes, she didn't smile once.
But you were laughing.
I kept giggling.
You were giggling all through this.
Yeah.
How long did this scene take, possibly?
Until we heard the radiator walloping away.
I see. Now, what was the next thing you did?
That was about 2 hours later. I mean, we scrapped around there for about 2 hours.
And did you leave the house after this altercation?
No, she wouldn't let me out.
She
said I couldn't go out.
Uh-huh. And when did this all take place, sir?
Monday.
On Monday of this...
A week ago. Monday a week.
Well, just remember...
Monday week.
It's 2 weeks ago because we're transcribed, you see. Now, what has your wife done in the meantime to prove she loves you?
She keeps sending me these nasty letters. And,
Do you answer these letters, sir?
Yes. And I answer them and tell her that I am deeply in love with her.
Was that one of the letters that came in with you into the studio tonight?
No, that was my attorney.
Oh, I see. You have taken legal steps then, too.
Well, I want to know what I'm going to do. I've left a lot of underwear and socks at home. And I know that I want them back. Pray that you'll give them to a brother or wear them or
not. In other words, your problem, sir, is that you want to get back this underwear and these socks.
Yes, that's my biggest problem right now for Christmas.
That is your principal worry, as of right now.
And one
then
time...
You'll take care of the wife later. I mean, that, as I see it, is the most pressing problem.
Well, a suit is a pressing problem, and she refuses to clean that either, Mr. Agony.
I see.
And,
Well? Yours is a case which I have come upon so many times before, and I
only... It's love, not returned, and it breaks a man's heart.
I only wish there was something I could tell you. Something that would strike home, so to speak.
Well, I didn't tell you another funny thing. She poured ketchup on me.
Well, I don't believe that has too much to do with...
Well, it does. Look at my neck.
She didn't take it out of the bottle, did she?
No.
I think that we all understand your particular problem. And as you understand, I can't give you legal advice over the air.
No, I understand that.
However, I advise you to sue. And if you'll stay after the program, I'll try to help you out. Are you working, sir?
No.
How long have you been unemployed?
About 1923, 1924.
Since 1923, okay.
When I...
Roughly thereabouts. In other words, roughly about 26 years you haven't worked.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And you have eaten regularly during this time?
Yes.
How have you managed to get 3 square meals a day?
Well, I haven't eaten so much that you'd think I'd get fat. I mean, any eating I've got has just been to keep me together.
In other words, your wife
I ain't been glutton about it.
Your wife has supported you, sir, during all of these 26 years. Do you have any children?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How many children do you have?
10.
You have 10 children, I see. And you haven't worked since 1923, sir?
No.
Well, I think you've got a good point there. I think you should do something about this wife of yours.
That's what I want to get the underwear and socks back.
That's right.
It's a big thing with me.
She's no good for you.
She don't love me.
And I think that...
But I love her very dearly.
If you'll stay and see me after the program, I'll try to do all I can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Mr. Costello. Abbott. Hey, are you Abbott?
Excuse me. It's 1:15.
Oh, is it that late? 1:15. Well, now let's take another look at some of these.
Oh, you know what we have is a wonderful commercial today. Is our friend Mr. Gutland's Music Nook out in Norwood.
Oh, yeah.
I see you have a sheaf of commercials there.
I have, to say the least, a sheaf, Bob.
Most of them are repetitious. They are 15-second commercials, which have been typed one after another on a page, and if you read all of them, you're reading the same thing over and over. I'd suggest we forget that, wouldn't you?
Well, I suggest that we merely talk about the Music Nook at 707 Washington Street, in Norwood.
You know, the other day I made a very serious blunder. I said 707 Main Street in
Did
Norwood.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if Washington Street is the main street.
It is one of the main streets, but everybody, it seems, knows where the Music Nook is, so we don't need to point up the address too much.
Oh, you know where it is in France? Okay. Well, do you know their telephone number? You know, you can phone orders over to the Music Nook, and they'll fill them gladly and with a great deal of zip and pleasure. The number... And we'll let you burn this into the dining room table.
Probably a Norwood exchange, I'd say.
It is. It's Norwood 7, 1174.
Ask for Irv when you call up.
He'll be tickled to death to talk
to you. As well as records, and their featured RCA 45 RPM player, which is the biggest thing in records this year, as you know, for Christmas gift-giving.
Yes.
And the records, the 45 RPM records, which go with this player attachment. Mr. Gutland has made special arrangements with the Bob and Ray Record Company to stock the famous Barry Magoon record of Mule Train and I'd Like to Be a Cow in Switzerland.
Does he get
does
that?
Have a limited stock of them, and you can either write to him or you can drop out there in person. Naturally, he'd like to have you drop in and shake your hand.
Well, I don't know if they want to shake his, Bob. I mean, should we watch our wallets when we do that?
No, he's a pretty fair-minded guy, I understand. And
Should we keep our eye on the door?
Well, yes, you could do that.
I mean, that's always a good advice, friends. Walk in backwards and never turn your back to the door.
That's right.
Never.
And he has a wonderful photographic department out there, you know.
I know that. Lyons, it's wonderful. You get everything in the photographic line. He has, for instance, friends, so basic an item as a camera, I'm sure he has.
And the film to go with it.
That's right, and the shutter and all like that there.
I don't think he rents his dark room, but you could ask him.
I suppose you could, and come down and spend an evening there with him.
They are open, too, every evening from now until Christmas until 9 o'clock.
Incidentally, they also have the 45 RPM records and record players. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk to you briefly about those. I know you've all heard about them and wonder what they are. I don't know what they are, but they are something and they're here. I'll read you what it says. It says, play RCA Victor's new distortion-free 7-inch records through your own radio or phonograph with the RCA Victor 9JY. Now, this is an inexpensive record player attachment. You can get it at the Music Nook, of course. It's the easiest, surest operating changer ever designed.
Tell him the price. That's the big thing.
Price, friends? Why, certainly.
I know you have it on the tip of your tongue.
$12.95. And they have a complete list of all those 45 RPM records, you know.
You can get popular or classical, Western.
Western, that's what
whatever
I like.
It is. I like the Sons of the Pioneers myself.
I can't get enough Western music. What else do they have on them? They have kids' records, too, I suppose.
Yeah, children's records.
I suppose they have everything.
The best thing for you to do would be to drop out there and look them over yourself, because there's plenty of time to get one of these players for Christmas. They have a good stock of them out
there. It's a good place to buy or to do some Christmas shopping, too, friends, I might add.
You'll be surprised the number of gifts you can take care of at the Music Nook. This is in Norwood.
I'm on the air now. See me at 1:30. The Music Nook is open until 9, right up through this season.
On the air now.
Will you please explain to that bill collector that I will be out
He'll be out at 1:30.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
I think I'll run over to the piano here.
All right.
Special request for the folks at the Music Nook. They wanted to hear this.
Thoughtful of you to remember them, Bob.
And I think it's rather a nifty version of a very familiar song. One that probably...
I have a request. I don't suppose you'd play under the Double Eagle for me.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Maybe someday soon.
Thanks, Bob.
But this is my new arrangement of the Pagan Love Song.
Ooh.
I think you'll like it.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob. Watching you over here at the other side of the studio where I'm standing, and I'm wondering just how you did that.
I have a tom-tom at my feet here, you see.
I see that. Mm-hmm.
And I just tap on that and play the keys with my fingers.
I see. And then how did you get that fading effect? Did you move the piano and slide along the floor?
I pushed the piano with my other foot.
I thought you did. I mean, I didn't know for sure.
I ended up out in the hall.
I know. Come on back in, Bob.
Well, I'm in now.
Oh, swell.
I'm standing at this microphone over here by the door.
Probably confusing for those who don't know radio.
Well, we like to describe radio. We like to go inside radio and bring you the background to the news as you hear it now.
So many people have an idea of radio as being what they see in the movies whenever they see a radio there.
I mean, all announcers don't look like Don Wilson.
No, they all look like Tyrone Power either. I'm the exception, because I'm such an outstanding-looking young man. Bob here, on the other hand, isn't. Bob, I would say it was frightening. Would you say that, Bob?
I would say that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, Bob...
Yeah, I'll go along with you on that.
Bob has been known to curdle milk at approximately 10 paces.
Oh, 8.
8 paces?
Sure.
What do you know about that?
Oh, I'm ugly.
I know that, Bob, but...
I'm not really ugly. I mean, I'm pretty good looking.
You're tolerable.
But
you see, I'm outstanding, friends.
Take it from there.
Oh, gee. So many people want to know what you look like, Bob. I thought that you should describe yourself today.
Well, I'm tall. I'm handsome.
No, that's
dark
me.
Dark hair. That's me. I'm tall and dark, handsome, irresistible, and very wealthy. And I have everything that anyone should have.
Now, but I think we should describe more of the pertinent facts about radio.
I got by that.
Don't you?
All right. What should we talk about radio?
Well, we've mentioned the announcers.
Yes, we've had enough of them. Land's sake, for the blight of America's life.
Well, we do have studios.
Yeah, and the last word, too, believe me.
What was that last word we heard?
Wow! That was the very last. Some announcer fell through the woodwork here.
Well, every station has a studio orchestra.
That's right, and we also have a news department, which analyzes, or rather takes the news and writes it for radio. It's quite a job. We have one of them in here today. I'd like to talk with him.
Will you come over here, sir, and tell us your
Thank
background.
You very much.
Mm-hmm. You don't work here at this station.
No.
No.
No, I'm from a other radio station. I'm a newsman.
I see. And what is your job?
Well, my job is to take a piece of news copy and put the word well in front of it.
In other words, if the statement says a water main burst in Chelsea...
Yes, I mean I put, well, a water main burst in Chelsea.
Now, let's take another type of story. Let's take a bank robbery, say.
Well, a bank robbery, I always use the term, well.
Do you have other terms that you use, too? I mean, that would start a...
Well, I like to always arm state troopers with blue steel revolvers.
Well, do you ever start a story with meanwhile?
Oh, yes, of course. I use all sorts of connectives. Meanwhile, elsewhere, overseas, here in New England.
Here at home.
Down south.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the nation's capital. Out in the far west coast, I employ.
You
up
use...
Up north.
Up north.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't say down east.
At sea.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the greatest news story you've ever covered?
Oh, I believe the greatest news story this past year was the Red Sox getting Al Zarrilla.
You were out there to cover this?
I covered that story. I saw it breaking.
Did you write the story up in glowing terms?
Yes, and I wrote it and I scooped everyone on it.
You did.
You probably remember.
I do remember that. And I believe you received some sort of award for that.
I did. That's right.
You care to tell us about it?
Well, the award was a loving cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was presented to me by my co-workers.
Well, that was nice. Was it engraved to you?
It was placed on my head. And I had to call in the fire department to get it off.
And that made another story right there, didn't it?
Just shows you how these things really move along.
Well, for coming here today and telling...
Lightning strikes twice, so to speak.
Telling us your story. We want to give you this check for $100 from the bottom.
I don't want it. I'll tell you now, I'm taking that check.
This is from the...
Valerie
Foundation.
I don't want to take your check. I think you...
Sound man, I wish you wouldn't use Kleenex for tearing up checks, will you? It doesn't make a good noise.
I don't want to accept that check.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you why.
We want you to accept.
No, I'll tell you why I don't.
Why not?
It's not big enough.
Well, thanks anyway, and accept this little
fun. I was only kidding, Abbott Costello. I think you're great.
Thanks a lot. We thought that you had a very interesting story, one that merited bringing to the attention of all New England.
If anyone would like my photograph, but I believe it's suitable for framing, simply send your request to me and I'll get it right out to you.
And your name?
Scoop Fledler.
And your address?
This station.
Okay.
Scoop Fredlock, care of this station.
Good. Well, we'll look for your picture in the mail real soon.
Okay, be glad to send them out. I only have a few thousand left.
Program kind of sags here.
What's that again?
Oh, Ray, I was talking to you.
Oh, what, Bob?
The
sagging?
Program is kind of sagging here, but it really doesn't make much difference because we're practically...
Well, let's get up here.
It's a heavy program, isn't it?
Believe me, half hour is pretty heavy to lift, I'll tell you that.
Well, this half hour has gone by rather rapidly.
I want to remind everyone once again about the sponsors. Remember, U.S. Steel brought you the first 5 minutes of the show, so whenever you think of steel, buy U.S. Steel or any of the others. And then the following 10 minutes brought to you by General Motors and all their fine automobiles.
And the burglar kit brought you the next 5 minutes.
That's right. And
remember that phone number for the burglar kit?
The United Nations bought 10 minutes of the program.
And then there was the music nook squeezed in there somewhere.
And Chesterfield, America's greatest Sturtley. Think of it, friends. Think that cigarettes are as handy as a pack of Chesterfields. I mean, it shocks you. It makes you realize that this world has really moved ahead. When you can sit at home, for instance, and reach over and grab a cigarette, just as easy as that. Think of
it. Well, Sturtley to all of you, we don't have a theme today, do we?
Oh, could you sing it, do you think? Collegiate or something?
I don't know the words, but I'll dig them out for tomorrow.
See, Ken and Bill are in the broom closet, friends. Ken and Bill get mad at
They've
us.
They've been bad, and we have to take measures.
Ken and Bill are located at the broom closet. Ken Wilson and Bill Green at the piano and organ. And we hope that they'll be with us again tomorrow. We want to thank them
for today. And they can be heard on their own program in the morning.
At 8:35.
Write if you get work, friends, and we'll see you tomorrow with some more Christmas gift suggestions.
From WHDH in Boston.
Yes, of course.